Good day. It is again our great joy and delight to come to you. Now we're in the 15th chapter of the Gospel through John. And we've been dealing in this chapter with fruit bearing. The chapter starts, chapter 15, verse 1, and runs through chapter 16, verse 4, which has to do, as I say, with fruit bearing. What God wants is fruit. Much fruit is the purpose of the vine. And as you read this chapter through, especially the first six verses, we have where God's desire for his people is that we shall bear fruit. Remember that Israel had been a vine, but an unfruitful one. You find this in the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Hosea, all speak of the fact of Israel being a vine, but it is not a fruitful vine. But now the Lord Jesus says, I am the true vine. So the Lord is the vine, the true one. The Father is the husbandman. The believers are the branches. The branches do not produce the fruit. The vine produces the fruit. The branches bear it. And it's speaking especially of our union with him, for he is the source of all spiritual life. And it speaks especially of the fact that God wants fruitage from your life and from my life. This is what he expects. This is what he is looking for. And this fruit is because of our union with him. Now you'll notice in the first six verses, and I'm just repeating what I said in our last lesson, there are some who do not bear fruit. This is verse 2. And they need to be raised up in order for them to bear fruit. And then there are some branches that are bearing fruit, but they need to be purged, they need to be cleansed. The parasites, the small infinitesimal bugs that are on the vine would sap out the life of the vine, would stop fruit bearing. So we're cleansed through the Word. And by the way, again may I remind you that in chapter 5, the Word is to be believed. In chapter 8, the Word is to abide in your heart. In chapter 14, the Word of God is to be obeyed. And in chapter 15, the Word of God is used for cleansing. For the Lord says, you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. And then you have the requisite for much fruit in verses 4 and 5. And the secret of fruit bearing is abiding. It's impossible for the branch to produce the fruit. But as the believer walks in fellowship with the Lord, then we find the branch begins to bear more fruit, and I trust much fruit. What the branch must do is to abide in the vine. And all depends upon the vine. We are helpless apart from him. And by the way, he tends the weakest branch. None allowed is going to waste. So he says, stick to me, cling close to me, abide in me. For severed from me, you can do nothing. Then in verse 6, we had the spurious branches who have no life and, of course, have no fruit, and they're just fit for burning. Now let's come down to verse 7, and here we have the encouragement. And I'm going to read this verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Let me just stop here for a moment. Notice the encouragement. If you abide in me, if you stay in me, that is, stay in fellowship with him, and his words abide in you, that is, the word of God having its rightful place in your heart, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Here is a tremendous encouragement. Fruit is dependent, I say, upon communion with the Lord. As someone has said, it's a life of union and communion. Obedience is the human side of it. Assurance, life, is his side of it. And as we walk in fellowship with him, we produce fruit. All our letter, we bear fruit. May I again suggest, because of the doctrines that some men read into this, he is not dealing with the question of salvation. He's dealing with the question of fruit bearing. and that which glorifies the Father is much fruit. So you have this encouragement. You abide in Him. I say again, that means staying in Him. This means fellowship, communion with Him. And His Word abiding in us. That's how we get to know His will. We ask what we will. It shall be done unto us. You know, we had a verse in chapter 14, 13 and 14. You remember that passage where he's talking about the promise there for the revelation of the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Again, we come to this question of obedience. The measure of our love for the Savior is our obedience to His Word. And as we walk in the light of His Word, as we walk in fellowship with Him, then we begin to bear fruit. Or should I put it another way? The fruit of the Spirit will be evident in our lives, as you find in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. Now in verses 9 to 14, pardon me, allow me to give a word on verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Again, allow me to remind you of the fact that the great purpose of our Savior was the glorification of His Father. We had this in chapter 11. We had it in chapter 12. We had it in chapter 13. We have it in chapter 17. The great ultimate purpose of all redemption is the glorification of God. The whole purpose of our Lord's life on earth primarily was the glorification of His Father. And your salvation and my salvation is going to redound to the glory of God. It's going to fill us with truth. It's going to fill us with joy. It's going to fill us with blessing. That's true. But the primal purpose is that the Father be glorified in the Son. And the Son, being glorified, will glorify the Father. So you have in this verse, herein is my Father glorified. And you bear much fruit. Child of God, do you want to glorify your Father who is in heaven? Do you want to glorify the one who redeemed you and bought you for Himself? Then bear much fruit. How can I bear much fruit? By walking in continual fellowship with God in His Word. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. In verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now someone's going to say, well, what do you mean by abiding? May I remind you of 1 John chapter 3, the last verse, verse 24. You know, John generally makes very clear what he means with the words that he uses. Now, John in this chapter uses the word abide a great deal. In fact, we find it all through John's writings, abide. Now, when you come to the last verse of 1 John chapter 3, what is it to abide? To obey is to abide. And you sit down and think it through. When am I in fellowship with God? When am I in real communion with God? When I'm in obedience to His Word. It's what God expects. If I love Him, I will obey Him. How often in the 14th chapter, I think three times the Lord speaks of this fact. Obedience and love. Obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my word. See, he that loves me will keep my word. And my Father will love him. We will come and we will sup with him. We will make our abode with him. We will reveal ourselves to him. See, this is spiritual life. Spiritual life is the enjoyment of Christ. And as you and I enjoy the Savior for himself, not for what you receive, but for himself, just because you love him and he loves you, then your life becomes a life of change. Your life begins to reveal something of the character and the love and the compassion of God. So the Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So we find here that much fruit bearing is an evidence of being a disciple. For me to say that I'm a disciple of the Savior, that I'm really following the Lord, and there's no fruit manifested, then I'm not a real disciple. I'm not following Him. You may know all kinds of doctrine. You may be brilliant. But unless the fruit of the Spirit is manifested, how do I know you're walking in fellowship with the Savior? I meet some of God's precious people, and I'm not questioning that they belong to the Savior. But they become so hard, if you don't believe exactly the way they believe and cross your T the way they cross their T, they'll have no fellowship with you. This is not right. If I abide in the Savior, if I'm abiding, I'm obedient. If I'm obedient, I'm walking in fellowship with Him. If I'm walking in fellowship with Him, then the Spirit of God is free to live out Christ's life in you and in me. This is a sign of a real disciple. And by the way, this is the third thing in this gospel through John about discipleship. Do you remember in chapter 2, there were some of his disciples believed on him when they saw the miracles which he did. But the Lord knew they didn't believe him. Their hearts were not attracted to him. They were looking for the spectacular. They believed what they saw. They believed what they felt. But they had no heart for him. But when you come to chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, he could say to the Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, if you abide, same word by the way, if you abide in my word, if you remain in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Abiding in the word is an evidence of a disciple. In chapter 13, do you remember? 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you should love one another. By this love you have for each other, shall all men know that you are my disciples. The badge of discipleship is love. Now we come to this third one. The evidence of a real disciple is bearing much fruit. Now we bear fruit, we bear more fruit, we bear much fruit. Now in verse 2, they were lifted up that they may bear fruit. And then there were those who were bearing fruit, purged, cleansed, that they may bear more fruit. Now he adds, after speaking about abiding in him, if you abide in him, if you bear much fruit, herein is my Father glorified. And this is the evidence of being a real disciple of the Savior. Oh, friend, may I just say to you today, this need of God's people being real disciples of the Savior. I see the need of this so much in my own life and the life of those around me. As I see God's people through the country and for that matter through the world, I realize one of the greatest needs among God's people is to walk in fellowship with God and become God's channel, whereby the very divine love of God is evident in you and in me. And you remember in Romans 5 it says, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit given unto us. So you see, if I say, well, Mr. Mitchell, I was born weak and frail and so on, we'll accept that. That's true of all of us, You see, God knows you and I can't live a consistent Christian life. He knows that. That's why the Spirit of God has come to indwell every believer. It's what our Lord was speaking about in chapter 14. Now as you abide in the Word of God, as you abide in the Savior, you'll bear much fruit, and thus you bring glory to the Father. Oh, just you think about that. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Now in starting at verse 9, and running down through verse 14, we have love keeps his commandments. Love keeps his commandments. Now we had it in chapter 14. Now we have it again in chapter 15. You see, let me remind you, in chapter 13 and 14, we've been dealing with what Christ has done for us. Now, when it comes to fruit bearing, he's putting some of the responsibility on us. What can we do for him? We abide in him. Our hearts are in love with him. We want to walk with him. We want to commune with him. We want to live for him, so that the Spirit of God will manifest in us those wonderful, wonderful things, which is the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit of God. Now we have here in verses 9 to 14, love keeps his commandments. I'm going to read this portion. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. You know, it's an amazing thing what we have here. Full joy. Notice it. Full joy. Verse 11. These things have I written unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Notice the body's love in verse 9. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. You continue in my love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Then he talks about obedience. Mark the three things: full joy, perfect love, and simple obedience. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Did you notice this? Full joy. See, obedience, love, full joy. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, you remember John writing the epistle said, these things write I unto you, that your joy might be full. God wants us to be full of joy. You see, joy doesn't depend upon happenings. The man of the world, the man out of Christ, his happiness depends upon circumstances, things that happen in his life. But for a Christian, we should have joy even in the midst of sorrow. We should have joy even when things are tough. Joy even when you're tested and tried, knowing that out of the tests and the trials and the sorrows, God is going to be glorified. Your joy is filled full. This is what we want for you. This is what God wants. He wants your joy to be filled full. It's an amazing thing to me. The Christians seem to miss the joy of the Lord. You know, someone has said in this passage, and I just quote this, and I'm sorry I can't tell you where I got it. I don't remember. But prayer effectual, verse 7, joy celestial in verse 11, fruit perpetual in verse 16. I'm going to repeat that. I kind of like that. In verse 7, prayer effectual. In verse 11, joy celestial. And in verse 16, fruit perpetual. You see, abiding in Christ has as its very evident essence obedience to him and to his word, which brings full joy. Obedience brings full joy. Sinning does not bring you joy. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when you think of it. These three things he wants you to have, all concerning you, he wants you to have, enjoy that same love that the Father has for him, you have for each other. He wants to have you to have his joy, that your joy might be full. And the crux of it is, from a personal viewpoint, obedience to his word. And when you and I, that's all he asks, when we and I are obedient to his word, then we have full joy. Then we know something about abiding. Then we will love each other as he loves us. You see, the whole thing, from a human viewpoint, depends upon obedience. And to abide is to obey. I just pray that something of the love of Christ will just garrison, will guard your heart and your mind these days. And may I repeat the three things again? Prayer effectual in verse 7. Joy celestial in verse 11. Fruit perpetual in verse 16. And this is what God wants to be manifested in your life and in my life. And may the Lord just, in a wonderful way, make himself exceeding precious to your heart. Unsaved man or woman, you can have full joy and full peace in Christ Jesus. What he wants for you to do is to put your trust in him, accept him as your own personal Savior, and these will all be added unto you. And I'm sure the Lord will bless you abundantly today for his name's sake.